to our where the department will be briefed on their second quarter performance, hoping that they are bringing the 4% with them. That was not achieved out of 96 because they said 100. I know the DG is in China, but I'm not sure if there is a written apology to that effect. I'm going to allow Advocate Gwebu to present the apologies to the Portfolio Committee. Only written apologies that gets presented to the Portfolio Committee. We are going to receive the summary, whoever was leading the presentation must speak to the summary, and I can see your summary is much thinner than it's shrinking, but it's precise to the point. And your report on the community projects also is there, and it is precise to the point. So basically, our discussions, I anticipate that they will be smooth. And then the other SIG document, as we agreed over time, it will serve as a resource document. So I'm going to allow, I don't know who, the DDG, Chetty, I don't know who is acting as a DG, because and the one or it's you are acting as a DG in the absence of the DG who is in China. Yeah, so and then I'm going to hand over to you after the apologies are tabled. Mr. Advocate Gwebu.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Indeed, Chair, I do have the apologies from the minister who is on a trip to China. The deputy minister is on a trip to Kenya. The minister is accompanied by the DG. And Dr. Chichi is appointed as the acting DG. She is leading the department. From the members, the apology that we received is from Honorable Matumba, and then the content advisor, Dr. Kuzo, is on his way. He says he's stuck in traffic. Those are the apologies.
I guess Honorable Manili is extending apology because she was hospitalized last meeting. That's the report which I received, so I have no indication of whether she is discharged or not. So we need to record her apology from that understanding. Dr. Kuzoyo is better now because I know he was sick, so he's coming. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Honorable Ismail.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody. I'm not sure if I heard the advocate actually advising that Honorable Many Defenders will be a few minutes late. It's on the group. Thank you.
Not sure about that. I didn't see it myself because we're not always in groups, you know? Yeah. So it is better if an honorable member calls our support team, because we are not always on WhatsApp, some of us. So next time, honorable members must make that call. Otherwise, those apologies of arrival is late, they won't be registered, because Advocate Gwebu did not see it. Please, honorable members. Over to you, DG Chetty.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. As the Honourable Chair has indicated, we have provided three presentations. We will start with this narrative document and go through it very quickly, and then go through the detailed document, because there's some information related to the actual HR matters as well as financial matters that are not in the narrative document, Chair. The annexure then, of course, is on all of our infrastructure projects, and it indicates both quarter one and quarter two progress to date. That presentation we won't go through in any detail. So if we could then move to the first slide, Chair, which is simply a summary of our achievement in quarter two, as coming back up on the... Thank you very much, Petra. The administration branch had 13 targets, 9 of which were achieved, 3 where there was significant progress, and 1 which was not achieved. For the tourism research, policy, and international relations branch, of the 13 targets, 11 were achieved, 2 with significant progress. In destination development, 7 of the 8 targets were achieved, and 1 of the targets was not achieved. For tourism sector support services, 12 of the 16 targets were achieved, and 4 of them were not achieved. So in summary, 78% of the targets were achieved in quarter 2. 10% of them were not achieved, but there was significant work done, and 12% were not achieved. I would then, with your permission, Chair, like to ask each of the DDGs to take us through the summary of the programs for them, and I'll hand over to DDG Ngwenya for Program 1.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. For Program 1, there were 4 targets which were not fully achieved, and 3 of which were partially achieved. The first target relates to the payment of the 100% payment of all compliant invoices within 30 days. This target was not achieved. We've registered 99.7%. While the target has not been achieved, it is an improvement from what was registered in the previous quarter. We seem to have moved a percentage further. However, for the target that was not achieved, there were warning letters issued. There were non-compliance letters and warning letters issued to the officials who were then responsible or contributed to the non-achievement of the target. The second one relates to undertaking consultation on the draft public entity oversight framework. In the previous quarter, the framework had been delivered, and the target for this quarter was to facilitate consultation, which could not be undertaken, and has now been moved to the third quarter. Contributing to that has been the termination of service of employees within that critical component. The third one is maintaining a vacancy rate below 8%. and we were not able to achieve. We closed the quarter at a vacancy rate of 9.3. So we have had an increase of 1% from the previous quarter. However, we've put measures in place. Contributing is the vacancy of the director HR and the chief director, and we've made a commitment to prioritize the filling of those positions. The last one relates to female representation at SMS. The target is 50%. We closed the end of the quarter at 48.8. We have had 4 terminations of SMS in the quarter, which then resulted in the vacancy, in the percentage dropping. As much as there were appointments, but we were not able to fully meet the target. It is also an improvement from the previous quarter, but it was also not sufficient to include, to get to the 50% mark. Thank you, Acting DJ.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. For Program 2, as the Acting DG reported, we had 13 targets for the quarter, 2 of which significant work was done but not fully achieved. The 2 targets is shown on slide 5. The first one speaks to the terms of reference for the development of the National Tourism Statistics Plan that we had to finalize. This is work that came as a recommendation from work that we did in the previous financial year. The draft terms of reference have been developed, and we started with consultation, especially with our Provincial Tourism Statistics Committee, as this work will impact on them a lot. But we felt that further consultations with other key tourism stakeholders, including the industry, also is important. Part of the work, or let me just say that this work is also led by our National Tourism Statistics Committee, which membership includes Statistics South Africa. So in essence, the draft was developed and consultation started, but we wanted to extend the period for consultation, and that's why the final terms of reference wasn't finalized. And then the second target speaks to the hosting of the BRICS Tourism Senior Officials Meeting, as well as the Ministers Meeting focusing on sustainable and inclusive tourism recovery. We did host the first BRICS Tourism Senior Officials Meeting during the period under review. However, the ministerial meeting we had to postpone due to the lack of confirmation from the BRICS countries regarding their attendance. We, as a corrective measure, then scheduled the meeting, the ministerial meeting, on the 24th and 25th of October, which we scheduled a senior, a second senior officials meeting on the day before, and I can report that indeed the meetings were held according to those dates. So thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Those are the 2 targets that significant work was done but not fully achieved in quarter 2, and I'm handing over to the Acting DG. Thank you.
Thank you very much. For Program 3, which is Destination Development, 1 of our 8 targets was not achieved. The target that was not achieved relates to work opportunities. In quarter 2, the target was 1,439, and 475 work opportunities were realized. When we do the targeting at the beginning of a financial year, we usually use a formula that is provided to us by DPWI, and that isn't an exact science. What I would like to say, though, is that in quarter 1, our target was 642, and we actually exceeded that achievement with 1,676 work opportunities for quarter 1. At the end of quarter 2, if we look at what was the target for quarter 1 and quarter 2, that was 2,081 work opportunities. if we add the achievements for quarter one and quarter two, we actually achieved 2,151. So cumulatively, although the quarterly targets were not achieved as they were set, the cumulative target for both quarter one and quarter two has been exceeded. I'm going to hand over to DDG Sutrava.
Thank you very much, DDG. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. For the branch, tourism sector support services, we were managing 16 targets, 12 of which were achieved, 4 were not achieved. At the close of the second quarter, we had achieved 75% of our targets. The targets that have not been achieved, the first one is on the business advisory services that we are focusing on a home sale. It is a pilot program that we have added to the incubation and a program to support home sales. The deliverable at quarter two was to obtain approval for the concept document. Unfortunately, we were not able to obtain approval. When the quarter ended, we were in engagement in terms of emphasizing certain measures that we are to implement within the pilot program. We have since been able to clarify the methods that we were to clarify for us to obtain approval. We are currently doing assessments of the home space that we will be incubating. The second one is on the implementation of the resource efficiency and cleaner production. We have not been able to implement. There were delays in terms of the appointment of a service provider. We had done the process in terms of advertising for a tender. The bids were evaluated, but at the debate stage, we did not obtain approval. The process was deemed not correctly followed, and then we were advised to restart the process. And the process is currently underway in terms of drafting new specifications and also advertising for a tender to appoint. On the implementation of the tourism monitors program, the plan was to be able to appoint service providers to provide the accredited training and to manage the attendance of tourism and monitors at the sites on which they would have been placed. We had run the supply chain management process, but at the time when the second quarter was finalized, we were not able to conclude that process. And unfortunately, the attempt to be able to conclude did not yield positive results in that the process was deemed to be tainted by irregularities and chairperson, and we are currently in the very same process. We started the process. We have advertised the tender on the 8th of November. It will close tomorrow on the 22nd, and then evaluation will start immediately. Then we are hopeful that we will at this time be able to obtain an appointment for the training.
on the other side, Shepparton, we are currently, we have involved with Harambe for them to be able to assist us with the recruitment of the learners. And they issued a call for the youth to apply for their database. We are currently embarking on selections and interviews of the learners across, of the monitors across the provinces. We are hopeful that by the end of November, we would have appointed 2,300 tourism monitors and ready for placement when the service providers are appointed. Part of the reasons why we went on a tender process a little bit late into the second quarter was that there were consultation processes that we were directed to take with the private sector and with a provincial government in terms of identifying hotspots and ensuring that the number of monitors will be sufficient to manage this hotspot. Another one that we were not able to achieve is the recognition of prior learning process. At the time when the second quarter was ending, we had only managed to issue out a call for applications. There was delays in terms of appointment of a service provider for us to be able to conclude on the selection and the induction of learners. This is a program that we are implementing in KZN and the Western Cape. Jefferson, we have been able to catch up. Currently, the process is ongoing, and we have appointed the candidates that are currently being assessed. Thank you very much. That is from G2PS. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. With your permission, we'll move to the next presentation. And if we can start on slide 8, please, Petra. I'll ask the DDGs to just run through very quickly the achievements, and then DDG and Gwenya to take us through HR, and the CFO to take us through the financials. Over to you, DDG and Gwenya.
Thank you. In terms of the performance for Program 1, the first output indicator related to the audit outcome, and the target for the second quarter was to receive the audit report from ADSA. We've received the report, and it was unqualified both on financial and performance information. The second indicator related to our contribution to government's transformation, economic transformation, where the procurement was directed towards SMEs. The target for the second quarter was 40%, and we were able to register 62% of our expenditure went into SMEs. The third target I have already presented on is the one that was not fully achieved, and I've indicated that although we have registered progress to 98%, we were not able to secure 100%. The fourth output indicator relates to procurement spend from women-owned businesses. The target was 40%, and this is a target which in the first quarter we had not achieved. We have now since achieved it, and we've registered 42%. So 42% of our expenditure on procurement went into women-owned businesses. The next indicator related to matters of oversight over South African tourism. There were three targets for the second quarter. One was the quarterly oversight report, which was achieved. The second one was the draft oversight framework, which was not achieved. I have already indicated in the summary. We are now on track to fill the vacancies within the entity oversight to ensure that we are then able to deliver in the third quarter. The third target was the governance protocol, which was therefore revised. Output indicator number 6 was on vacancies. We were for the target for the second quarter was to maintain a vacancy rate below 8%. We closed the financial year at 9.3, and we missed the target there. We had over 17 terminations in the second quarter, and the decision by National Treasury was therefore going to impact. However, we have since received permission from DPSA to proceed with the filling of posts, and only those that were therefore advertised by the time the circular, and we are hoping that by the end of the third quarter, we will then be able to achieve the target. Next slide, Petra. The next one is on the percentage, our contribution to employment equity. The first target related to 50% women representation at SMS. The target was 50%. This is the one that we missed. In the second quarter, we've had 4 female SMS terminating their services. Although there were appointments made, we were not able to achieve, but we were able to recover from the 47% in the previous quarter. The second target related to representation by people with disabilities, the target was 3%, we've achieved 4.5%. Output indicator number 8 was on the implementation of the WSP, and the target was 100%. In the first quarter, we had achieved 70%, so for the second quarter, we have now achieved targets for the second quarter, but also made up for those that were not achieved in the first quarter. The next indicator relates to the internal audit plan. Target for the second quarter was 30%, and 30% was achieved. The last target relates to communications in terms of the communication strategy and the implementation plan. 100% of quarter 2 targets were also achieved. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. In terms of Programme 2, the first output indicator refers to our number of monitoring and evaluation reports. And for the current financial year, we have targeted 5. And the quarter 2 targets were achieved for all 5 of them. The first one speaks to an assessment of the state of publicly owned tourist attractions supported by the Department of Tourism. The second one refers to our monitoring of the new and continuing capacity building programs that we run inside the Department of Tourism. And then the third one speaks to the evaluation of our departmental incubation approach, and we are focusing on 4 there, the Pilansburg Tourism Incubation, the Manyaleti Tourism Incubation, the Parabora, and the MIA Incubation Project. The fourth one, we are doing an evaluation of the Tourism Grading Council's accommodation grading program. And then the last one, we are developing biannual monitoring of the performance of the sector. The second output indicator refers to the number of instruments that we develop to improve tourism statistics, and that is the target, one of the targets that we just partially achieved. The first target speaks to the consultation with relevant stakeholders on the draft terms of reference, and that we achieved, but the final terms of reference were not developed as explained in the first presentation. The third output indicator speaks to our information and knowledge systems that we implement. We are targeting two for the current financial year. The first one is the implementation of the tourism and employment portal, and the second one on the tourist guide information system. And both those targets were achieved for quarter two. The fourth output indicator speaks to the fora that we prioritize to advance South Africa's tourism interests at a regional, continental, and global level. For the quarter under review, we targeted the BRICS tourism senior officials meeting, as well as the ministerial one, and that is the one that we also just partially achieved, but we did achieve the SADC, our participation in the SADC tourism program. In terms of the fifth output indicator, it speaks to the sharing of best practices workshop that we host annually with countries that we have signed agreements with, and that target was also achieved. And the last output indicator speaks to our number of outreach programs to the diplomatic communities implemented. And for that target, we also achieved the quarterly target, and those are the two that coincidentally Minister and Deputy Minister is at the moment undertaking to Kenya and China. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm handing over to Dr. Jessia.
Thank you very much. The first set of targets for destination development are our destination planning targets. We achieved six tourism concepts incorporated into the Karoo and Eastern Seaboard development regional plans. And the second one relates to the selection of the Project Implementation Committee for the Budget Resort Network and Brand. The next two targets relate to our work in investment coordination, and we have, of course, continued our work on the pipeline of nationally prioritized tourism projects, and the work on our investment promotions. We concluded the concept for these platforms. Our work then on the maintenance program in five provinces, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Free State, and the Western Cape. There are 25 projects in total, and all of those projects were in construction. We, in fact, concluded on one maintenance project in the Eastern Cape, on five of our maintenance projects in Limpopo, on four of our maintenance projects in Mpumalanga, and on six of our maintenance projects in the Western Cape. So in total, of the 25, we have concluded work on 16 of the maintenance projects in quarter two. The next slide then speaks to our work on the 29 community projects. As indicated, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, the detail of the progress per province, per project, is contained in the annexure that we have provided. But we have 11 projects in Limpopo. All of them are in construction. We have three projects in the Free State and KZN, and those were similarly in construction. We have three projects in the Northern Cape, and we were in the process of procurement for those three projects. And on all three of those projects, we had to re-tender because our first process was not successful. In the Northwest, there are three projects, and also we were in the process of procurement on those three projects. In the Eastern Cape, there are five projects, and all of them were in construction, with practical completion being achieved on two of those projects. So the practical completion stage basically means that the work has been concluded, but there is still a period where there are snags that have to be addressed. And the final completion certificate is only issued once all of those minor issues are addressed. At Mpumalanga, there are two projects. And essentially on those projects, construction is also underway. Then our work on the township and rural tourism events, we actually had a project management plan that was concluded. Honourable members may have seen the advertisement that went out for the call for proposals. The call for proposals from provinces, I think, complete and local authorities was ended on Friday last week, and there is an adjudication committee that is reviewing all of the proposals that we've received to determine which of those the department will support. Our target is a minimum of two events supported, one in a township and one in rural tourism, and this is a pilot. However, we do envisage that through the open call for proposals, we will support more than two events in provinces across the country. And then the last target I've already spoken to, which is the work opportunities target. The total number that we've achieved is 2,151 to date, which is half of that target. And given the work that we're doing on both skills development and the infrastructure process, if we are successful, we anticipate that this target will be achieved by the end of the financial year. I'm going to hand over to DDG Sitwapa.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. For the branch TSSS, we were able to achieve the implementation of the Green Tourism Incentive Program. On the domestic tourism awareness campaign, we had targeted implementation of the World Tourism Day and also a domestic tourism month campaign. We were able to achieve that one. The World Tourism Day was celebrated in Northwest, and again, Tourism Month, the campaign was also implemented in Northwest. On the number of initiatives implemented to support tourism SMMEs, and the two initiatives, one being the incubation programs, we have been able to implement the existing business incubators, which is the Tourism Technology and Innovation Incubator, the Food Service Incubator, community-based tourism enterprises have been able to, we have been able to implement those. The new ones that we had introduced in this financial year, which is the Business Advisory Services that is focusing on women in tourism in Limpopo, we have achieved our quarter two targets. And the Business Advisory Services that is focusing on homestay, the pilot program, we have not been able to achieve. But on the other side, in terms of conducting an audit of tourism incubators across the country, we were able to achieve our quarter two targets. The implementation of the resource efficiency cleaner production training to support SMMEs was not achieved. On the number of programs we are to implement to enhance visitor service and experience, we have been able to achieve the implementation of the service excellence standard. We have not been able to achieve the implementation of the tourism monitors in all provinces, including Sandia and Mangaung. The joint tourist safety awareness session was conducted on the 29th of August to the 1st of September in the Eastern Cape, and a report was duly compiled. In terms of our capacity building programs, we had targeted 625 unemployed youth for training on the norms and standards. We achieved 1,695
youth in the second quarter. Regarding the training of SMMEs on the norms and standards for safe tourism operations in all provinces, we had targeted the recruitment and selection of the SMMEs in the second quarter, and we achieved the target. The NTCE, we were able to craft a project plan which was a deliverable for quarter two, and we had achieved the target. We had undertaken to have 50 chefs undergoing a cognition of prior learning process, and the target was the recruitment, selection, and induction of the candidates into the program. We only managed to do the recruitment in that we had issued a call for applications, but we were not able to do the selection and the induction of the learners as at the end of quarter two. With regards to the training of youth on our identified skills development program, the quarter two target was to train 375 unemployed youth. We have been able to train 1,695 unemployed youth. The target was achieved. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. That is the end of the presentation from my side.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Slide 29 provides an indication of workforce representation. We have maintained relatively the percentages. The only change happened in the second quarter where under Indians, we've had a female SMS who has terminated, and the number has now been reduced to 13. Instead of the 14 that were in the first quarter. So that's the only change in the second quarter. The next one provides employment equity in terms of occupational bans. There are two areas where, as a department, we have not achieved a minimum of 50% female representation. It's under senior management, and specifically the category of directors, where we still in the second quarter have 30 males versus the 25 women. The second category is the semi-skilled and discretionary decision maker. These are employees at salary level 6 and 8, and where we still have 22 males against 16 females. Overall, in the other category, we have maintained 50% female representation. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members. I'm going to present the expenditure report as at the 30th of September 2023. So in terms of the programs, we have four programs. The first one is administration. In terms of the actual expenditure, we spent 47% of the allocated budget. In terms of our projection, we're supposed to be at 48%, so we have a variance of 0.3%. Program two is tourism research policy and international relations. In terms of the projected expenditure as at the end of the second quarter, we were supposed to be at 78%. However, we achieved 43% with a variance of 35%. And the reason for the variance was mainly due to the South African tourism transfer, which was partially done in the first quarter. In the second quarter, nothing was transferred due to the recommendation of the portfolio committee. Program three, destination development. In terms of the projections, we are supposed to be at 50%. However, we achieved 21% with a variance of 29%. The main reason for that is slow spending in terms of the EPWP project. The branch has went into detail into explaining the reasons for those variances. The last program is the tourism sector support services. In terms of the projections, we're supposed to be at 26%. However, we achieved 19% with a variance of 7%. It's also due to a slow spending in terms of the tourism incentive program. The branch head went into detail in explaining the variances. Overall, tourism department was allocated with a budget of 2,524,244,000. As at the end of September, we managed to spend 931,205,000. So I will go into the next slide, which talks to the economic classification. In terms of economic classification, we have four main items. Current payments. Under current payments, we have a COE, a compensation of employees, and goods and services. Under compensation of employees, the projection was 46%. However, we spent 49%, and overspending of minus 3%, which is due to other factors such as temporary staff that we have appointed under COE. We are paying them from this item. And under goods and services, which includes EPWP program, we projected to spend 50%. However, we achieved 25%. The variance was explained by the branch heads. And the second economic classification that we have is transfers and subsidy. And under transfers and subsidy, the first one we have is departmental agencies and accounts, which includes South African tourism. We projected to spend 80%, however, we achieved 43%. The variance of 37% was explained as due to the transfer that was not done to the SAT. The next item under transfers and subsidies is foreign governments and international relations. We projected to spend 100%, however, we achieved 92%. Main reason of variance was due to the fluctuations in rent. The third one is public corporations and public enterprises. We projected to spend 13%, however, we achieved a 5%. This is a program where we run our tourism incentive program. The branch head went into detail in explaining the reasons for variances. The next one is non-profit institutions. We projected to spend 100%, and 100% was spent. The last one is a household. We projected to spend 60%. However, 44% was spent with a variance of 16%. And the next economic classification item is capital asset. Under capital asset, we have our machinery and equipment. We projected to spend 50%. However, we overspent by 87%. And the reason for that was that we had a lot of laptops or assets that were due for replacement, which were not, a provision was not made for. However, during the adjustment budget, we have factored that in so that we deal with the over expenditure. And that is the end of the report, the financial report. Thank you, Dr. DDG, and Honorable Chairperson and members.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. That concludes our presentation on quarter two.
Thank you so much, DDG Shishetia. Let me welcome your presentation, which is not much different from what you presented in our last quarter, I will allow the honorable members to deliberate on the presentation, and I'm ready to note it. Welcome, Honorable Maneli. We thought that you are still in hospital. We are happy that you are back. Dr. Kuzwai, I did not expect you as well. I'm happy to see that you are better. And welcome back. Your health is very important to us. I note Honorable Makubela, followed by Honorable Ishmael, Honorable Leko, Honorable Sithole, Honorable Defreitas, followed by Honorable Maneli. Honorable Mbush, oh, you all want to speak? Okay. Honorable Mbush, Honorable Makubela is the first one.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to yourself and my colleagues, honorable members of the committee and the acting DG with your delegation. Chair, mine is just on two items. In fact, it's one, but I will speak to both items. On program 3, the acting DG makes mention of the fact that the targets for the EPWP were not achieved for the second quarter. But however, as you go to the outer quarters, that you'll be able to catch up and exceed the target. Now, fair enough, you are going to be doing catch-up work. But then what then informs you to have put in this target for this quarter and yet you do not achieve? I think it has been something ongoing that the targets are caught up, you know. Is it not time that you actually put the EPWP on a year target so that you are able to plan accordingly? Because to my understanding, you plan to actually have people in the employ. Well, this EPWP is something that puts bread on the table of the most vulnerable people or sector in our communities through municipalities. And at a point in time when these people do not have this, we live with them in our constituencies, and they will tell you that we are now sitting at home waiting for the program or the funds to be transferred to the municipality so that these programs can continue. And that in itself has negative impacts, especially for us as people who are living with these people who share the space with them in our constituencies. I'm just thinking, for better planning in the future, can we do this program in a way that says you give out the tender or the program at the beginning of the financial year, and throughout the quarters there is a program that is running? You can advise if that is going to be something that is doable. But I have to register that this impacts negatively on those that rely on this EPWP program. And then the second one is also the target not met in the tourism monitors program. That program, when it was introduced was a program that we all saw as low-hanging fruit to be able to absorb many young people. As a country, we are currently suffering with unemployment rates being high. And that in itself was supposed to go into that space and absorb many young people, and female in particular. And also, if we are having that program, which is a program that I can say is easy target, does not need a skills that go for the entire year. For people to be trained as tourism monitors, they do a course of 3 months or 6 months, and the warm bodies are put in the strategic position. I see you mentioned that on this program you've not achieved the target, however you are having this, you say it's a stakeholder or publicity engagements in that space. That in itself is not enough. When we welcome this program, we're looking at having warm bodies, because as and when tourists feel safe, when they see there is a person who is identified, who is clearly marked there in a uniform, who's called a tourism monitor. Now, the engagements in stakeholders coming together, speaking about crime and in an area, I don't think that in itself is what we had or this program was designed for. And then my question would be, what systems are you going to be putting? Because you can see this will be a perpetual cycle that will be going on to say, here you've not met, you have not met this target, you then implement something which is an inviso of crime or something, but you don't have the actual warm bodies. What programs are you going to be putting in place to mitigate against that? And that, Chair, on myself, I am registering just a dissatisfaction with both programs, because I believe those programs were just programs that were supposed to absorb mainly our constituency. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Ismail.
Thank you, Chair. Once again, good morning to you and good morning to everybody in this room today. Chair, I just have a few questions for clarity with regard to the recognition of prior learning programs. You know, you've highlighted that, you know, you've tried A, B, C, D, and E. But does the department actually work with or have any particular relationship with TVET colleges or any other, you know, structures where we can actually have more access to youth and therefore increase our numbers? I just want some clarity there. Secondly, with regards to consequence management, what constructive impact, you know, or actions or outcomes have actually been achieved where non-compliance letters and warning letters have actually been issued? But we know that, you know, this issues of non-compliance and delays continue on almost every quarter or every year. But the fact that you say that you've actually issued these non-compliance letters, et cetera, et cetera, what is the positive outcome of this? My third question, what is the actual reason why the department did not renew contracts on time? Because this should surely have eliminated any delays in implementing the market access support program. So I just want to understand, you know, I mean, because we need to have some constructive strategies in place so that we don't miss opportunities, if I can put it that way. You've touched on, you know, vacancies, and, you know, you're getting there, especially having now been given the go-ahead by DPSA. I just wanted to know how far is this process, and I'm looking at time frames, because it's easy to say we're doing this A, B, C, D, E, but if there's no time frames in place, we come back with the same scenario in the next meeting stating we're in the process. Now, with regard to the tourism grading support program, the fact that this was actually not implemented, how has this actually negatively impacted SMMEs? In program 3, you know, there's 117.5 million rand underspending, which is due to delays in payments for the skills and tourism monitors project under the Expanded Public Works Program. I think my colleague that spoke before me has actually covered it, but I just wanted to highlight it, so I'm not going to be speaking too much on that. Chair, with regard to Program 2, page 32, I would like us as the committee to discuss this issue after the meeting with the department today, please. Thank you.
What issue is that?
It's with the release of funds to SAT.
Honorable, thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to the to you members and the delegation of the department.
Sorry, Honorable, Honorable Ismail, you check the agenda. There's no any other business on the agenda of the portfolio committee, but you will correct that when we get to it. Continue, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. In welcoming the presentation, Chair, which is in front of us as presented, I won't go back to what Honorable Makubele talked to under EPWP. I will also not go back to the issue of the presenter that talked on the recognition of prior learning, because that was what I was going to ask. But Chair, I have something to raise on the issue of targets. I also noticed that there is no balance between the programs of the department. It goes back to what I asked some time back to say, are these targets audited for them to talk to the challenges, for them to have a satisfying output? Why I say so sometimes is that I see that some branches have less targets than others, than other branches. I just want to get a sense, how does this issue of target, I know there's an APP that we approve, the targets are there, but sometimes I don't get the sense how to balance them. Because if you have six targets, it's easy to achieve, and another branch will have 10 targets, which will be difficult to achieve. I also understand that sometimes you don't achieve a target because you planned failure. By planning failure, it's proving that your target was not smart. It was not achievable. That's why I'm saying you planned failure. So we need to improve around that area as a department. Someone talked to the issue of the department prioritizing some SMS posts. I wanted to check if that is taking care of the letter from the Treasury, that regulation which puts a moratorium on hiring. How is that? Must we expect something better? Will those posts be filled given that moratorium? Also, Chair, a mention was made that this presentation is not different from what was presented previously, meaning the first quarter. It comes to my mind that there can be different reasons for not achieving a target. It mustn't be a one-size-fits-all. And when they say the reason for not achieving such a target, an intervention is required. I think that intervention must be stated in the report, but there is this intervention that they are planning as the department for us to be satisfied. I was thinking of that, Chair, but the question is, the other concern is that can't it be the Auditor General's mandate to audit these targets even after performance, but to audit if these targets were smart when they were planned or when we approved them as the portfolio committee, because we are the ones that approved these APPs. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Sithole.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to you and members, the officials from the department. Honorable Chairperson, first of all, we have to appreciate the presentation because actually it helps us to understand the issues that are happening in the department. But mine, Chairperson, if you check, Honorable Chairperson, on slide number 5, or page 5, I don't know what page or slide. Honorable Chairperson, the issue there is the issue, no, slide 7, Chair, Honorable Chairperson, is the issue of recruitment, selections and induction of learners for RPL processes. If they can unpack that, Honorable Chairperson, if you see that one, they are talking about KwaZulu-Natal, which they fail, or Western Cape, and if they can give us actually what was the progress and the impact of not achieving that progress, Honorable Chairperson, which is program 4. And the issue of consultation, because according to them, they say they have delayed because of the consultation processes. If they can give us those delays, why it happened and what was the consequences of that, Chairperson. And the other one, Chairperson, is on slide number 20.
What's happening? What's happening?
Who's in the middle of the bus? Honorable Chairperson, on slide number 20, or page 20, the issue of township and rural tourism is supported using the minimum of one event in one township and one event in rural area. Can they give us where those have been happened, Honorable Chairperson, and the achievement? If they can give us the one, because you see the rubber stamp that is happening in township and rural areas, sometimes we have to go and experience what are they talking about, because we cannot just say township and rural, whereas I'm a rural boy, I know what's happening in rural areas. So now I must actually know where I'm from, Kanda, which is the rural area of KwaZulu-Natal. So now I want to know, because I always speak to tourism in Uganda, the one who's dealing with tourism. Even at KwaNongoma, Zululand, I spoke to them. I even give them to the DTG, the information.
You're mentioning Uganda,
Nongoma is Zululand. So now, Chairperson, I want to see what is the thing that is tangible that is happening. And then another one, Chairperson, is on slide number 29. slide number 29, Honorable Chairperson, they say for person with disabilities, they achieve, I think, 4.5%. But the entity achieves zero. Zero for the entity, SAT, zero. But they achieve 4.5%. I don't know, Chairperson, if they can be honest to us. Because we cannot actually say this has been achieved, whereas we don't know where. And the other Honorable Chairperson is on slide number 33, which is the last one, Chair, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I have a concern on that one. If you check departmental agencies and account, and the public corporations and private enterprises, Honorable Chairperson, is actually a disgrace. If the target was 13% and there was 80%, but the achievement is only 5% and 43%. If they can tell us, do they have any system to deal with that underspending? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Deflators, followed by Honorable Mani.
Thank you, Chair. I've been covered by a lot of the colleagues, so I'm not going to repeat it, but what I do want to particularly bring up is an associate myself with Honorable Makabele, where she was talking about the PWP, and I want to extend a little bit beyond that. Members will remember at the beginning of this term, we said that our focus would be to develop tourism in townships, villages, rural areas, where it's needed the most. I've read all the documents, the presentations, financials and everything. And just like this presentation, it's only on page, on slide 20, that mentions it fleetingly. I thought there was agreement that we'd be focusing on this, making sure that those economies, those tourism economies, are developed and assisted so that people in townships and rural areas have opportunities. And I may be wrong, and maybe the officials can clarify. I just don't sense that there's that focus. People are hungry to participate in tourism. There are people, for example, that have a spare room in their house. Maybe a person where his children left the house and they've got a spare room. And there'd be an opportunity for a home stay, for example. And my sense is nothing is being done to educate, assist, etc., these people. So I'd be very interested to hear what is being done there. Everything else seems to be done, but not that. And I thought that was the focus, Chair, from the beginning of this Parliament, if we were going to focus and make sure that those people would be assisted. So I am very concerned about that. I'd be very interested to hear from the officials in this regard what is being done, if anything at all, and what their plans are in the future. Otherwise, I've been covered by other colleagues. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and greetings to Honourable Members and the DDG and everybody in the meeting. Chairperson, I think from what other members have presented, I will only have two questions. My first question is based mostly on slide 26 and 27, the number of young people. My current will be, because I see it's the same number, the 1,695. Are these the same young people who were trained on delivery with host employees, and or are they different from those that were trained on norms and standards now? Then secondly, on the issue of joint tourist safety awareness session, out of interest, Chair, can you just be told as to who are the stakeholders that participated in this session? And also, out of interest again, what informed Eastern Cape, as I believe that there are other areas that currently this will have made more impact on, not necessarily saying that Eastern Cape does not need it, unless it's a continuous or an annual program where in all areas will eventually be covered. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Bush.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, Chairperson, and your honorable members. DDG, Dr. GG, and the rest of the officials that are with you, our support team. I welcome the presentation, Chairperson, with a few questions, Chair. I'm not sure. I think let me start with the one that I find interesting, Chair, which I think we have to just make a follow-up in terms of our own research. It's quite interesting that when the department exceeds in one term, when they are reporting in quarter one, when they are reporting in quarter two, they then combine and say we have met the target in that way, which takes me to Northwest, where the contractors there will say, I can take my grade 6 and get the one with the grade 1 and make grade 7. That one is
joint venture. It's called joint venture. There's no ambiguity about it. Am I right?
No.
Yes.
So yes.
Joint venture.
Yes,
Chair.
But I was just saying, Chair, I found this one quite interesting. secondly, Chairperson, what are the challenges in the supply chain management of the department? And have there been any corrective measures taken against the officials who are responsible for the delays that have led the department not to meet its targets? For example, in the tourism monitors program, Chair. thirdly, Chairperson, though I was covered, Chair, I will uncover myself on the prior recognition of prior learning process. I'm not sure, Chairperson, who are their targets when they advertise and what is entailed in the program itself. Are they working with institutions? Because I'm not sure, from a layman's view, I so wish that the department could not be spending so much money there if they were to partner with institutions of higher learning. There wouldn't be any delays and all that, what have you, in terms of implementing the program, Chairperson. I've lost count. On the publicly owned tourist attraction tech, this one is also a matter of interest. Which are these publicly owned tourist attractions which were developed? I think in program four, the BAS chair, what were the reasons for non-achievement? Because I've not found any. And also on the RECP training and business support program, which was not implemented. The reasons are not specified in the report. Let me not say anything on this one. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, honorable members. We are raising the same questions which we raised in the last meeting, because the presentation is very much identical with the last presentation. What I would have expected from the department is a presentation which is slightly different from what we received
which will focus on deliverables. Since our last meeting, what is it that you have achieved? What is it that you have tried to correct? Because honorable members, from time to time, they will raise their concerns and guide the department on how to mitigate some of these things, but it is blurry on your report or it's not there at all. There's no indication of our contributions which we made in the last meeting, because the issue of the EPWP, which is raised here by honorable members, a red flag in your last presentation was mainly on understanding on this particular program, and all of us were perturbed by that. And to date, you are coming and it's still the same report. On your report, very detailed report on the maintenance of projects and what have you. But my problem with the report itself, which makes me wonder as to, you know what, if we had a helicopter, I would, you know, ask Parliament to hire the helicopter so that as honorable members we go to these projects, because one, in fact, Mamutoki can go to these projects that are at Amatole district, because she is from Amatole. I'm making one example. Now, your projects there, they've got deadlines where the projects will end. We're in December now, or we're in November, but projects that were expected to end in July, they are reported as such. And this report was supposed to say to us, project completed. Kungathwa project expected to end by the 6th of July, and we're in November, but we are still expecting the project to end. So all these projects that are here, some projects were expected to end by September, we're in November, still we're expecting the project to end. It doesn't make logical sense. Even if you can, you know, try to say you justify this, it's not justifiable. All these projects that are here, expected, perhaps these ones that are expected to end now in December, let's leave them. But July, September, August, and all those projects, what are we expecting? Are these projects existing? Or is projects that we just decide to, you know, put a Kwakwa, since this one is from Free State, she would go there if we ask her to go there and see whether the projects are continuing, or whether there's problems or challenges in these projects. Because if a project is expected to end by October 17, we're in November now, we are anticipating that the project is completed and that there's, you know, people are employed, you know, it's functioning well, and what have you. So why are we still getting these projects like this? All these projects. So I want you to give us a rationale on this kind of reporting. And you write achieved, Ekabili. You know, what is so worrisome is that in the end you write achieved. Project Kalengoku and expected to end in November, achieved. But there is no indication whether the project has ended or the project is still continuing. You must check that. You must check your report there. Wolvers Kloof, City of Cape Town. I can always go there and check whether the project is achieved. Because if you are writing there the project is achieved and you expect to end the project by June 14th
and we're in November. When I get there, what I expect is a project which is complete because you are saying you have achieved it. So I don't know. And look how teams just right in my backyard of the constituency office, which is my office in Khayelitsha. And you were expected to finish this project in June. Is the project completed? That's what we want to hear as the portfolio committee. In all those projects, are these projects completed? If you say you've achieved a project, our assumption is that the project is completed and handed over to community or handed over to the municipality or handed over to any possible recipient of that particular project. So I think you need to clarify those things because myself, where I'm sitting, I'm very confused. So those are the issues which I thought I should register before you can, you know, respond and then respond holistically in all the questions by honorable members, whether it is worth it for us to sit with you, suggest this must happen. You go first quarter, you come back second quarter, the report is still the same. There is no difference. Whether are we not wasting our time in these boardrooms, because what we need is deliverables where we have suggested a process. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm going to ask DGs to respond in turn. From my own records, I think that there were no questions for Program 2. But Anami, you can correct me if I'm wrong. If we can start with DDG Ngwenya, and if necessary, DDG Ngwenya, if Mr. Rabotapi needs to respond to the detailed planning, you can hand over to him. And then if we can take DDG Setswaba and the CFO, and I'll come in at the end. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Member. The first question related to matters related to vacancies. At the time when the National Treasury Circular was issued, which was followed up by the circular from DPSA, there were 30 positions which had been advertised and were at various stages. The panel will have been approved, in others shortlisting was done, interviews were conducted, it was just the clearance that we were waiting for. So all of them were then suspended. And there were 17 which were pending advertisement. So when we submitted the motivation to DPSA, we submitted for both the advertised and those that were pending advertisement. DPSA has since clarified that those positions which were advertised on the date that the National Treasury Circular was issued, we can then proceed with the filling. So we are proceeding with the 30 which had been advertised, and we still await concurrence from the Minister of Public Service on the 17 which were then pending advertisement. What we are doing now is we initially had a recruitment plan before the circular was issued. What we are now doing is to revise that recruitment plan and ensure that we are able to fast-track the safety in the third quarter. The matter related to the director and the chief director HR. The director is asked to get transferred to another department.
Who's playing here right now? Why is the noise?
Thank you. So the chief director went on retirement. Both were advertised and are at various stages. the emphasis there was just to indicate that things are a little bit slower in HR, given that you have the we have the two vacancies. On the matter related to employees with disabilities, yes, indeed, the department has 21 employees who are employees living with disability across the four programs, and they represent employees across the different occupational bands, from salary level 6 up to a chief director level. The matter related to SAT was noted, and probably when they appear again, they will then provide a plan on how they intend to meet. But for the department, we are indeed sitting at 4.5%. The matter on intervention required. This is the assessment template that is used when we deliver as program. We then submit our report to the branch that is then responsible for quality assurance and quality control. And they conduct an analysis of the information that we have provided to indeed confirm that when we say this was achieved, this was achieved. They then provide feedback to us as program heads, where we are then expected, in the event that we are not happy, we will then provide additional. But the not achieved is making a distinction between a target that is not achieved but significant work was done, and a target where there is effort that is required to deliver that target. It is just in the manner in which the phrasing has happened. If you look at significant work, you will find that in some instances it is an area where you will have missed a target by a point or two, but work has been done. Against a target where either there was no effort or the effort was not satisfactory to then be considered a real progress, but it took and come in to provide further details. I think that concludes Acting DG. The matters related to Program 1. Itu, do you want to come in and explain the target?
You are making Mama Komba want to speak now.
I am so sorry. May I request Itu to come in and explain the target? Thank you.
Mamu Komba, can you answer them? Because they are taking time.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. No, I just wanted to ask them if it's possible for them to change their reporting template so that it is clear when the program is completed and whether there's work in progress to achieve progress, the ultimate target, so that we in future we are not confused by this completed programs which are not complete. So maybe your template must actually be very clear and transparent enough, because the way you are reporting, you are not transparent. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, members. I think the question that I need to address is the one that was asked by the Honorable Kaiho. On the whether or not the department does utilize the services, the expertise of the AGSA with regard to completion of the targets in the APP. So we do actually. invite them to do the value add before the annual performance plan is submitted for approval to your good self and to the minister. So what happens is they use the same instruments that we use, which is the revised framework for Start Plans and APP. So that framework does apply the criteria, for example, for the performance indicators. There's a criteria applying there which deals with how these performance indicators should be crafted to be aligned with the quarterly milestones or the quarterly targets. So we would hand it over to them, they would look at it. If they see something, then we would engage up until the time that they are satisfied themselves. So all our EPPs, it's something that has been practiced in the department, that we subject them to the audit process as part and parcel of their value add. They also use another instrument which we ourselves use, which is the framework for programs performance information. So this one...
Can you please talk to your mic?
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I hope. Maybe let me try this one out. So, Honorable Chairperson and the members, I was saying that our strategic documents, whether it's the strategic plan or the APP, normally, once we are done with our process of putting the proposals in the APP, we subject them to the audit process. So this is done by the external assurance providers, who are the Auditor General of South Africa. They do the value add, and then I was saying that they use two instruments. They use the framework, the revised framework for APPs and strat plans, which sort of outlines the or talks to the SMART principle, which the honorable member was talking about. And then they also use the framework for program performance information, in which you will find that the criteria for the good indicators is also outlined. So they do that. If there's a finding, then they would raise it with us, then we'll go and correct it. So when it comes to your good selves for approval, it would have been through the AG for their value add. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. Yeah. With regards to the tourism monitors program, we have processed the procurement process. My memory serves me well, not less than 3 times. And we were able to advertise, we were able to evaluate, and then take it through for decision, adjudication. But unfortunately, there has been unfortunate incidences where either the irregularities that were detected, our system was able to detect irregularities in terms of the procurement process. There was also the last time where no suitable bidders were found. There were 2 elective modules that were in the specification, and none of the bidders were able to meet that specification. And I we do, and honorable members feel the hardships that non-implementation of this program is bringing to the youth. And for that, we have, while we are running the current procurement process, involved the central database, the South African Youth Database, enlisted the support of Harambe, which is an accelerator program, has a database where youth register, and then they are able to be exposed to opportunities within tourism. They are reporting that they have received quite a lot of applications, meaning
this program can be a big plus in terms of denting the unemployed rate. CVs are currently prioritized in terms of matching applicants to the attraction sites or the places where we want to place them. We are prioritizing the appointment of the youth to participate in the monitoring program. And anticipation is that the tender will be successful this time, and then by the end of the beginning of according to our action plan, the beginning of December, we will have a favorable decision where service providers would be appointed.
How do you know that it will be successful this time? After several attempts, is it because you guys got someone that will carry your 10, 5, 20% on the tender? Because if this has not been successful for two consecutive times, what guarantees you? And I remember in the portfolio committee, we even suggested that the department can partner with the TVET colleges on this particular program, so that young people are able to get accredited certification, and that will you know, you will incur less costs as a department. Those are the suggestions that we made. But you want to go there, turn the procurement route, and two consecutive or more than twice this thing has failed. And now this is another attempt, and you think that you will be able to get somebody to implement this project. Why are you not using government entities? Because I know there's a forum of TVET colleges which has a president to that effect, and they have, perhaps you must invite them to the portfolio committee to present on what they do. Because if you don't use government entities, you want an individual to run this project, you are going to be met with a chaos that we saw at Manyane Lodge, where the CVs of young people were lying around for this particular project and program. So what guarantees you as a department that this will kick off? If we know 10% or 5, 18 and do continue.
Thank you. There are consequences in terms of where there were irregularities that have been detected in the procurement, and I am aware, Honourable Chair, that there is an investigation that the DG had commissioned. I'm not aware if the investigation has been completed and whether the recommendations have been submitted to the teacher. But in cases where there has been misdemeanor, the department...
Honorable Bush and Honorable Stolder, with that guy from PG, you are stepping our meeting and the speaker on the platform. If you want to get us one another outside the meeting.
And then it's about to.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you. The involvement of TVET colleges in the IPA, the recognition of prior learning is one of those that were identified in the tourism sector human resource development strategy. One of the observations was that there are chefs who I experienced have been in the workplace for a number of years, but who do not have the necessary the qualifications. So together with our partners in terms of CAFSITA, including the Department of Higher Education, the Department of Basic Education, we were able to identify that, and then the department was charged with the responsibility to start training, to taking through those chefs through an assessment so that they can be certified. It has produced a career progression, especially for the older chefs, honorable chair, that have been in the game but have not been able to progress in terms of better opportunities because they lack qualifications. These are chefs that are in workspaces. Like you find they are already working as a chef, but they are not able to progress in their career because they do not have the required qualifications. That is the target, targeted a candidate for the RTA. Chairperson, there was also a question on the tourism grading support program. The question was, how has it affected SMMEs? We are providing an incentive for the South African tourism, especially in their business unit, the grading council, to be able to offer membership in terms of grading. They are informing us that they are experiencing a decline. We have been quite involved with them in terms of kickstarting the implementation of the tourism grading support since the memorandum of agreement elapsed. But they are informing us that they are experiencing a decline. We have called on them to quantify and let us know in areas where they are experiencing but the work is underway in terms of us negotiating the terms and conditions for the MOA, where this program must begin to be implemented. The challenges were issues around non-reporting and also reconciliation of the amounts and the numbers that they are reporting in terms of membership of the grading. The service excellence this time, the previous year we were implementing at Ukahlamba municipality in KZN. This year we are in the Free State province. A small town in the Vaal called Dennisville. Last week there was a report in terms of the identified businesses, tourism businesses that we are going to profile and train through the service excellence standards. We were not able to meet a sufficient number, and then the decision was taken that we must go outside the small town and into the townships. We have been able to add a number of some of enterprises that are in the township to the number that we had had from Honorable Maneli, the 1,695 that we are training on the youth is the same number that we are training on the nonsense standards and also on the various skills. The nonsense standards on itself, is not a training that can equip the youth to participate meaningfully in the tourism and a sector, but it is part of the tourism recovery plan that we are to train and on to train on nonsense standards. If members will remember, it came as a result of managing the COVID-19 and pandemic. So we are training them on the various skills, but at the same time, we are also training them on the nonsense standards. In terms of our stakeholders that are participating in the joint awareness session, we do partner with local and provincial government. We do partner with the South African Police Service, our law enforcement and agencies. There's also tourism associations who play a very vital part in that. Together we are mobilizing our citizens, not only to be aware about the tourism offerings, but also for them to be able to realize the benefits of protecting tourism. We are calling it joint in that we are promoting domestic tourism, encouraging people to travel their country or in their areas, but at the same time we are promoting issues of safety within tourism. We have planned 4 campaigns in this financial year, one province per quarter. We are rotating in that the previous year we had 4 provinces. This year we have 4 provinces. We are rotating among the provinces. Okay, the reasons for the RECP not being implemented. There was a tender process that was issued out. There were 2 bidders, and the 2 bidders did not meet the specifications. So DPEC ordered us that we need to restart the process. On the home states, this is a pilot project that we are embarking on. It is part of the incubation programs, but a little different in that we are targeting home states. The reason why there were delays in terms of approving the concept, DG wanted us to go and we determine the specific tailor-made needs of each of the 50 home states that we will be supporting. And again, the need to be able to ensure that they will be sustainable, not only as providers of accommodation, but at the same time there will be some undertakings by other government tourism authorities to ensure that around the home space there are attractions that people will be able to visit, but at the same time book the home space as a tourism accommodation provider. Okay, the market access support program. We have been able to work with South African Tourism in terms of the trade shows that they have identified. We always follow them when they have identified a trade show, and then we support SMMEs to be able to exhibit in those trade shows. And so far we have done the Africa World Tourism Market, we have done the Indaba, where our hidden gems were exhibiting. We have also done Meetings Africa. We are preparing to go to Kenya. We are taking, from SAT side, we are taking 4 for our SMMEs to be able to exhibit and their offerings, services, and products. this was we have been able to rework our guideline. We will be focusing on locals as well. We are coming up with a strategy where events that are happening in the domestic terrain will be able to support, not necessarily looking at these big ones, but for those local events where there are shows, our tourism enterprises, SMEs, will be supported to be able to sell their products to locals. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. For SCM challenges, we, the DDG, Sedwaba has already responded. The challenges were with our two projects, Tourism Monitors and the RECP. So she went into detail explaining the reasons for those SCM challenges. The other question was the under expenditure under departmental agencies. When we were presenting, we have indicated that it's due to transfer to SAT that is put on hold for now. So that is the main reason for under expenditure. The other under expenditure was under public corporations and private enterprise. It is a tourism incentive program. The branch head did explain the challenges with that under expenditure. Thank you.
How is the transfer from the department to SAT amounts to under expenditure?
Elaborate. So out of the total amount appropriated to the department, part of that amount is 1.3 billion is allocated to South African tourism. So in the beginning of the financial year, we will then have projections which say for this quarter, this is how much we shall transfer to SAT. So in the first quarter, the tranche that was supposed to be transferred to SAT was over 900 million in terms of the approved cash flow. So during the time when we were supposed to process that transfer, we then requested for the estimated budget, and what SAT gave us was about over 500 million. So that's how much was transferred in the first quarter. Second quarter, we couldn't transfer because of the decisions that were taken by Parliament. However, that money is sitting in our account, is part of our cash flows. If we do not transfer, it is then sitting in our account and it remains a non-transfer and it relates to money.
Not under expenditure, but non-expenditure.
My apologies. It's under expenditure because it was supposed to be transferred from our side, then it's not transferred. So it is under expenditure because it's what we have projected to transfer. However, it is not yet transferred.
Let me deal with the remainder of the questions, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think that it's to the point the CFO has been raising. We finalise our planning documents, we finalise, for example, financial projections by the end of March, and those things often get signed off, in fact, in February. And there's not an opportunity to change, for example, your initial projections. So you have to continue to report against them. If I recall correctly, the discussions around the budget generally take place around June, which is after all of those other documents have been finalized. So the department doesn't have an opportunity to update its projections. We have to report against the projections that were initially planned to be done and signed off by the end of March. And that's the reason that the reporting aligns in that way. If I might then also say with regards to our planning, we ensure that when we plan, we are aligning with strategic documents. So that would be the, in our case, the Tourism Sector Recovery Plan and the National Tourism Sector Strategy, which then are set at the beginning of a new administration. And they then speak, Honourable De Freitas, to what we want to do with regards to a strategic direction. So from the perspective of our work in tourism, we are in fact working in townships and rural areas, so previously underdeveloped tourism. From a destination development perspective, for example, the work that we're doing in our planning as well as the work that we're doing in our community projects is to develop new products and diversify the current products that we have. And from a skills perspective, the work that we do also then aligns with trying to create job opportunities within those areas. So our sector strategy is deliberately targeted towards less developed areas, which in this instance would be townships and tourism planning. And the work that we're doing, particularly in the planning and the master plans that we have completed, are about progressively developing projects so that we implement them and grow tourism in previous areas. So our targets may not specifically, as they're written in our APPs, say rural or townships, but the way that our work is done actually does target development in those specific areas. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I think that you do consistently provide guidance with regards to how we can improve our performance, but also I think, Honourable Chair, some of the inputs that you and other members have made also are about how we can improve our reporting. So let me start, Honourable Chair, with the questions around the infrastructure and the reports that we've provided. I think that when projects are started from a project perspective, the end date on a project might shift and change because there are challenges on the ground. For example, if there's stoppage related to weather, if there are issues around project delivery. But in the project plan, the end date doesn't change. It stays the same. In order for us to be able to track when we started and when we actually finish and what are the deviations between that. So the start date and the end date will always remain the same, but the reporting then is done against whether you are achieving those targets or not achieving those targets. From the perspective of a contractor, once they've reached practical completion, what they like to do is to hand over the facilities to the owning entity so that there can be some kind of testing of the facilities. But the practical completion stage means that the work the contractor's done has been completed. There is still snags, so there might be issues, for example, where they're testing facilities or small things that still need to be corrected. And we only hand over a facility once there has been sign off on a final completion certificate. So the final completion certificate basically says that all of the issues that have been identified by the professional service provider, as well as the issues that might have arisen through the testing of those facilities. All of those things have been addressed, and then the contractor exits the site, and we then formalize the handover to the owning entities. So in terms of our reporting, Chair, I think that for the annexure itself, we will improve the reporting to actually indicate where projects are behind schedule, so that's very clear, and also to indicate when the now anticipated completion date will be on specific projects. At the end of quarter two, just to say that we'd achieved practical completion on 16 of the maintenance projects, and they're basically completing the snagging process in quarter three, and we will then issue the final completion certificates and hand over those sites back to the owning entities. There were two of our projects that achieved practical completion, community projects in quarter two. We're still doing snagging on those projects, and we want to ensure that they are properly completed, all of the snagging, before we do final completion. So, Chair, to take your guidance from what you've indicated, we will, in our next report, provide an outline of where projects are on track, also where projects are behind schedule, and also some narrative around what we are doing with individual project plans that are behind schedule and what our plans are. Just to indicate, Chair, that where projects are behind schedule, there are in fact individual catch-up plans for each of those to make sure that we achieve practical completion. Where, in fact, there are challenges around the contractor not being able to perform or not being able to meet deadlines, those penalties then are instituted in terms of the contracting itself. In terms of the township and rural areas where we are supporting events, Honorable Sithole, we have just closed the call for proposals from various entities, organizations across the country, and we will be able to provide you with the details of those specific events in our third quarter report, because the process of adjudication would be complete. We would have then communicated with the entities or the project owners themselves, and we can provide you those details once we have finalized our process around it. Honorable Makubele, I think that you are correct. There is always room for improvement in our targeting, but also in our delivery of the expanded public works program. And we are equally concerned as the portfolio committee about the delays in the implementation because of its impact. I think that in the second quarter, the reason for the non-achievement of the target that was set is largely related to the tourism monitors. That's the key program that we didn't actually, were not able to, as DDG Setwaba has explained, achieve the actual instances. But what I would like to say is that we do actually, if a program is meant to run for a year, even though we have delays in starting, we still actually run that program for a year. So the tourism monitors contract will still run for the duration of the program itself, and those work opportunities will still be created. The work opportunities target, the way that it is actually written, is that it only counts a work opportunity the first time it's created. So if I am, for example, which I'm not eligible for, but let's say employed in a program, even though I'm employed for a period of 12 months or a period of 6 months, it only counts the work opportunity once.
However, all of the work opportunities that were achieved in quarter one and in quarter two, those participants are still employed in the EPWP programs that have been set out, which is why we say that cumulatively, to date, 2,151 work opportunities have been created, which means that 2,151 people are employed and receive a stipend on the work opportunities. That at this point is half of the work opportunities that we were anticipated to create for quarter one and quarter two. And once our tourism monitors program is up and running, there will then of course be the addition of those tourism monitors included in the program itself. I think, Honorable Chair, if I look at my own notes, those were all of the issues that were raised. And we do thank Honorable Members and Honorable Chair for the suggestions that you have made around our reporting. We will improve our reporting templates for greater transparency and also to make some of those issues clearer. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
I'm going to allow honorable members, if they've got follow-up questions. TTG Chit, on your program, which is program two, you have achieved 11 out of 13 targets in the second quarter, and you spent less than the projected expenditure. You spent about 43-44% of your annual budget, with a variant of 44%, which amounts to 498.1 million, and the underspending also, you are now attributing it to the transfers that were not done to SAT. So what's the correlation between the two? That's my follow-up question. Honorable Gomba, followed by Honorable Makubela.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
I'm noting hands still.
Okay.
Honorable Sithole. Is there any other follow-ups? Those are three honorable members. Honorable Gomba.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I've listened to the presentations, but I still have a challenge with the ones that we spend time and money, you know, the public pays to go and visit those destinations that were renovated, improved, and you know, like the Limpopo, those falls, what the PPD falls, the Ndobe program, and those ones are the ones that we promised people. We had public meetings with them after our visit to those sites, and you know, we hear the general general reporting, but not specifically to those ones that we went to meet the people and witnessed the weaknesses of the department. Now, I wish Honorable Chair to hear more on those ones, because as they are put together, we are not able to zoom onto those ones. We are heading towards the end of our sixth parliament. We want to leave the legacy of finished stories, not unfinished stories. Thank you very much.
Makubela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I was tempted to bring a follow-up question based on the tourism master plan. You know, those master plans were planned for a 5-year period or exceeding where perhaps it's a long-term project. And based on those, the tourism master plans that were developed, provinces took up those that they could develop, and then national departments would collaborating with other entities and departments were able to look at where the master plans can be taken further. Now, perhaps before we end the term, I don't think there'll be any presentation around the master plan, but just to update us on where work has been done and where the plans have been taken and developed and being implemented, and then where nothing has happened, you know, there are those perhaps where no entity had appetite to take up those master plans. And then the last one is on the budget resort. Now, tourism, according to the constitution, is a concurrent function, and a municipality, those master plan, those budget resorts resides in municipalities. A majority of them are even owned by municipalities. But based on the fact that there are no funds to develop them from the municipality side, because municipalities in their planning and their IDPs have little budget allocation for tourism. Where there is budget for tourism, those budgets get to be the soft target when service delivery issues crop up. So I foresee the same story. I'm bringing it up because I foresee the same story that will be linked to the master plans, to say you'll have a developed plans to revive and revitalize those budget resources, but nothing will ever be done based on the fact that you just develop the plan and give it to the municipalities. Is it possible that you, in I don't say find the budget, but I'm saying you can't just end by developing something, and where the function resides in the concurrency with municipality, there is nothing that will get done. So it then becomes just a talk show where we put this on paper and for record purposes, and we tick the box, and nothing will be done. Perhaps maybe just to see what other avenues that you can put up in place to revive this and link it up with a broader master plan. Thank you.
Honorable Sito.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter for their answering. But there is only one Honorable Chairperson which I left it on problem 2 under horse breaks, because it seems that there was a delay of a meeting between the ministers. But according to the report, they say it's on the 24th and 25th October they are going to meet. And I was trying to check, have they met? Because and then another thing that I want to find out, when the impact of budget, how much have they spent on this meeting? Thank you very much.
Those are I think the question which is raised by Uma Mukomba goes back to what I raised earlier on. You've got projects that are there. The project started in May. I want to assume it's after the oversight by the portfolio committee. And the project is expected to finish by March 2024. Has the project started? did the project indeed start in May, as you have written this on your report? Because your reports are not explicitly outlining what we want to hear, which represents the progress, especially on such projects where there was oversight undertaken by the portfolio committee. On Ngobe, you are saying that the project started in June, on the 19th, it will finish in May. Has the project started? That's the update that I think Honorable Gomba is referring to, because all that which you've written here, it was just, you know, something that you don't even reflect on when you are doing your presentation. You just comply to say, oh, the portfolio committee said that we must report on these projects, and then this is what we are going to tell the portfolio committee. And some of us, we do go through your reports when you send the presentations to honorable members. So I think you must be able to be explicit as you are responding to her question on these projects. You may continue.
Let me ask Didi Jimalam to come in first to respond to Honorable Sitole's question.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable Sitole, yes, the meetings happened on those days in October. In terms of the budget, I can come back to you if you want to get the budget for the entire BRICS program for tourism. There were two senior officials meetings and then the one ministerial meeting. So we can provide the budget. I just don't have the figures in my head at the moment, but we can provide it. But it happened. I can confirm it happened. And then perhaps, Acting DG, in terms of the chair's question around Program 2 and the budget and the expenditure and the relation of South African tourism transfer that didn't happen and Program 2, Honourable Chair, the money for South African tourism is under Program 2, that is where it is on the budget, is under Program 2, and it constitutes more than 90% of Program 2's total budget, is the budget for SIT. If I recall correctly, the total budget for Program 2 is around 1.4 billion, and 1.3 of that is for South African tourism. So more than 90% of Program 2 budget is transferred to South African tourism. Thank you very much, Chair.
My question was that you, as a department, out of 13 targets, you achieved 11, right?
Yes.
Meaning that you spent less than your projected expenditure on this particular, leave alone that thing of SAT. It says that out of 11, out of 13, you have achieved 11 in this quarter. And you spend less than the projected expenditure of this particular program. So the question, perhaps, let me make it simple. How much was your projected expenditure on this program? Because you spend only 43.4% on this program of your annual budget. And I want to assume that your annual budget on this particular program has got nothing to do with what you are supposed to transfer to South African tourism. So I think that is what you need to explain to the portfolio committee, so that we are able to be clear on this particular issue, because your annual budget has a variance of 44%. What does that mean? Which amounts to about 498 million compared to what you were supposed to transfer to SAT. So that's where the confusion is from where I'm sitting. So I think you need to clarify that so that when I leave this meeting, I'm also empowered. As we are empowering you, ourselves, we want to be empowered. So that's the clarity which I was seeking on this particular program, because it's there in your report. Yes, so you can continue with the responses.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me ask the CFO to have a look while I respond to other matters, because in the past I think we did present the budget for tourism policy research with the SA Tourism portion included in it and then by itself. So if the CFO is able to just look up that information and explain, because that total budget as it is covered now, Chair, which is 1.4 billion, does include the SA Tourism portion in it. And the SA Tourism portion is a significant portion, which is why the variance is in the form of 35%, which is so high. So CFO, if you can actually just speak to the details of that, of how much of that budget actually is the SA Tourism portion, and then also to actually explain of the projections without the SA Tourism portion, what is the variance for TRIP? And I think that, Chair, that's also then for our improved reporting in our third quarter, we will then disaggregate that. So are you able to speak to them immediately, CFO, or must I continue with the rest of the explanations? Okay. And then we'll allow the CFO to come in, Chair. But for improved reporting, we will then disaggregate that the next time so that you can see the performance of the program itself versus the actual spending related to SA Tourism. Honorable Gomba, I think that we have tried to, in our annexure, actually explain the performance per project. But I think we also take note of the Chair's comments earlier where we can improve this reporting. So the reporting as we have it, when we say a project is at a certain percentage of achievement, we're talking about construction. So the report actually provides the end and start dates for actual construction. And where construction hasn't started, we explain where it is in a procurement process. So if I might, with your permission, Honorable Chair, speak to, for example, the Ngobe project. As at the end of quarter two, construction on that project was at 20%. In quarter one, the construction was at 5%. So there is, in fact, a progressive construction on quarter two. I think that to the issues that were raised in discussions with the portfolio committee, those are being addressed in our steering committee together with the owning entities. And the expected end date of the Ngobe project is the 19th of May next year. That's when it is anticipated to be completed. I am aware that this project is behind schedule. I don't know the exact details of where behind schedule, but there is an individual project catch-up plan. So this relates to the construction. I think to the Chair's point, we can improve this reporting in our detailed annexure by actually providing the explanation of where projects are behind schedule so that you can clearly see that, and then also indicate what impact that has on the
original date of completion versus where we know it will now be anticipated to be completed. So we will improve that. On the Pipidi waterfall, we did make the appointment of the contractor by the end of quarter two, and construction actually on that project is also currently underway. I'm going to just have to double check what the actual percentage of construction is at this point in time. So what we've tried with this report is to indicate firstly the current progress, which is for quarter two, and then in brackets what the quarter one progress was, so that you can actually see whether we're making strides in terms of it. But we will improve this reporting per individual project to indicate whether it's on track with the original schedule or whether it's behind, and what we have actually achieved. So that's what we've tried to do with this annexure, Chair, but we take the point that there are ways for us to improve it. Honourable Makubele, it is true that we won't be able to provide a detailed report on the master plans, but if I might say that the master plans are actually 30-year implementation plans. To explain what we have done with them in the quarter is that we have, for example, we have a master plan that looked at the Orange River to Fields Drift in the Northern Cape. Out of that master plan, what we have worked with stakeholders in that area to develop is to actually look at the Orange River Mouth ecotourism project. And we have then actually taken that ecotourism project into more detailed planning. We've also made sure that the master plan and the initiatives in it are then actually incorporated into the DDM one plans. And we've been working with the stakeholders on the ground to look at then how we find funding. So we aren't necessarily leaving these projects just where they are in terms of the master plan itself. We are in fact then taking them down to the concepts and assisting to find the funding to make those a reality. We have similarly done that for projects that are in our Hondeklip to Port Nollet master plan. And we've looked at the Northern Cape Coastal Water Park facility in that space. We've been working with stakeholders in Pixley Kaseme on the Karoo Highlands Discovery Experience, which aligns with the Carnarvon to Sutherland Master Plan. And in the Wild Coast, we've looked at very specific projects where we're doing more detailed planning for the precincts, like the Ntambalala Resort in the Eastern Cape, the Port St. John's Precinct development, as well as the Magua Falls development. Yes.
The reporting on these projects is problematic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now, you will be able to report on these when you bring a proper report, so that as honorable members we are able to reflect before you could come and present in the Tisholo committee.
Sure.
Because as you are presenting it, it's before us. And what is on the paper does not reflect what we expect as a report that will enable us to understand exactly what is happening there.
Okay.
Yes. So don't go to the details of what is before us, because what is before us is problematic in terms of how you have reported it. So going through that is just a futile exercise. And as you are talking, I see honorable members indicating and raising their hands. You know, so meaning that we are opening another meeting on a matter which was closed. Can you respond to other questions so that...
Okay, Honourable Chair. With the budget resort question, which is related to the work that we've done, we have in fact been working with the
properties that were identified in the pilot, to look at how we support both from a marketing perspective, so there's work that we have done around the marketing for the broader brand, but also looked at how we can support them to ensure that the facilities meet the required standard. It is our intention, Honourable Makubele, to actually progressively implement that budget resort concept, because it's not just about a concept. Its intention, of course, is to address the domestic and regional market. Honourable Chair, I think that what we will try to do, again in our reporting, is to provide a little bit more detail then on the master plans and what we're doing in the quarter three report, so that that provides a much better platform for discussion. I will, however, say that there's a lot of detail contained in it, and you are correct. It is very difficult to speak about it very briefly because they are very broad areas, and over 25 years what we hope to achieve with them is in fact a lot of work. But I think what we might be able to do is to explain the concepts itself and in some summary what work we have done to date on those. And if I might then hand over to the CFO, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Chetia. Chair, I think we are taking advice from this committee that we should improve on our report, including the financial report. We do not have the level of detail that is required in this meeting in terms of separating the department from SAT. So in the next meeting, we will be able to provide that detail because we also do not want to present incorrect figures in this meeting. So we would request that in the next meeting we'll provide those details. Thank you.
Mamu Kumba, Honorable Ismail, do you still want to have a follow-up?
Honorable Chair.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, no, Honorable Chair, I understand and really appreciate the presentation. But also would like to, when they come back with the report, with the better reporting format, we would request that we get the programs, projects which are given to DBSA to complete, and the ones that the department is doing themselves before, or maybe those ones which are not yet handed to DBSA for intervention. Then we can be able to see progress made by DBSA and progress made by the department itself on projects and how they are being managed as well. And the reason for delays also in some of the projects. It's very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just need a clarity on this document where you have an extra program. You know, I see it's dated 21st of November 2023. However, if you're looking at the responses that you've given us on all the projects, it's almost like sort of, you know, a cut and paste, and it's not actually updated, that's my view, but you obviously have to open for discussion. If you notice on the Eastern Cape, I'm just going to be using the first page as an example. It says progress is at 99%, quarter 170%. Project started date 8th of February 2023 and expected end date 8th of August 2023. Okay, going forward here, those that are ending in 2024, I can obviously fully understand. We are at quarter 2. You're giving us a report for quarter 2, right? I see a little asterisk here to say, you know, practical completion project is completed. However, it is a short period to deal with snakes before final certificates are issued. Now, we are in quarter two now. You're giving us a report for quarter two. This, for me, doesn't seem to be an updated report because you're past the deadline. and now you're giving us a little asterisk there to say, you know, final snake. I find it many months down the line now, and I think we should have actually got a more updated report stating quarter two, what is the percentage there, and if there are any final snakes still after such a long period of time, looking at July 2023, August 2023, and where we are now is November 2023. So yes, please, the reporting. Thank you.
Honorable Ismail, are you saying this is a cut and paste of quarter one?
Yeah.
That is brought to quarter two.
Yeah, because not clarifying where we are right now.
It's
with
not different from what was presented last time. That's why I
yes, exactly.
Earlier on.
Honourable Chair, it is different. So let me try again. This report is provided as at the end of quarter two. Quarter two ended on the 30th of September. It is correct that as we sit today, the progress is different to this. So in the quarter one report, if you will go back to it, we would have said that progress, for example, the one that you read, is at 70%. Yeah? At the end of September, progress was actually at 99%. We've left the quarter one percentage in so that you can see that there is either progressive implementation or stagnation. So this report is, in fact, as at the end of the 30th of September. Sorry, it's at the end of the 30th of September, and what I was saying earlier on is that what we will then, in fact, indicate in our third quarter report would be, as we sit here today, these projects are, in fact, complete, with final completion certificates being issued, yeah? But when we provide this report to align with our quarterly reporting, we have provided the report as at the 30th of September. So perhaps that should also be made clear. So otherwise, what we're going to be doing is providing you a report with what's happening today, which doesn't align with the reporting for quarter two. So this report is as at the end of quarter two. It isn't a cut and paste. It is the updated progress as at the end of quarter two. As I've indicated, we've left in what was provided in the quarter one report so that you can actually see it. I think for transparency, we will look at how best to reflect changes between quarter one and quarter two, and also in the report indicate to you where things are on track, where they're behind progress when we provide the next report, and then thirdly also indicate if things are behind schedule, what we expect the new anticipated end date to actually be. So we'll look at how we can improve this reporting. But the report, as we've provided, is updated and is at the 30th of September, 2023.
Now you are problematizing your own selves, Ms. Chetia. You see, when I come to meetings, my bag is always full of previous reports. Now, I'm looking at the report which you presented to the Portfolio Committee in your quarter one, which is not even written, it's quarter one. Like quarter one is reflected on the quarter two. You see, that's the confusion. Because your previous report of quarter one does not even say quarter one progress. It's quiet. But this one of quarter two, it says quarter one, quarter one, quarter one, quarter one, quarter one. Let me cite an example. In this report of yours, which you presented to us, this report, it says Thomas Bayes Nature Reserve progress is at 70%. Project start date
2023-02-08 and expected to end 2023-08-08. In this report that you are presenting to us today, it says, Thomas Paine's Nature Reserve, progress is at 99%, it brackets quarter one, it is less 70%, it brackets. It projects that date 2023-02-08 and expected to end. The brackets are supposed to be reflecting quarter two, by the way, not quarter one. You are supposed to say quarter two, brackets, 99%, oval bracket, in close bracket. But you are not doing that here. You are reporting as if you are tabling a quarter one report. I'm going to show you this thing so that you have an understanding of what we are saying as the portfolio committee, because your report, this is your report of quarter one. Take it. And this is your report of quarter two, so that you see exactly what we are talking about. Because your brackets are supposed to be reflecting quarter two, because quarter one you have reported a 70%. Now it's quarter two, there's immense improvement of 99%. But that improvement is blurry because of how you have reported it in this report. You must check those reports so that you see what we're talking about. All right, Honorable Ishmael and Honorable Lukomba. Now, I think, Honorable Members, you have exhausted your questions and your contributions. Ms. Chetia is committing to the Portfolio Committee to say that they are going to improve on the reporting of the projects. And these projects, when they are reported in quarter three, because quarter three, we anticipate that there will be improvement. Now, in that report of quarter three, you must be able to say quarter one, it was 70%. Quarter two, it was 99%. Now we are quarter three, brackets, 100%. Then you say achieved, proudly so. Because you achieved now doesn't make sense to us. Because you achieved, it means something else. Because that's 99%, where is 1%? Then how do you say it's achieved? These are the questions that we're raising as a portfolio committee. That's what we expect when you come for your quarter three report, so that we have a clear understanding of the progress which you are recording in the portfolio committee. Otherwise, as things stand now, it's very blurry. And you are also committing that you are going to provide an outline on projects behind schedule and plan, which is catch-up plan, deadlines which are not met. That report will reflect all these things. I want to make a rider to say, on the projects which were visited by the portfolio committee during oversight, you must have a pager that will put that explicitly as to, from the oversight by the portfolio committee, this is what we have done, these projects are here now, so that we have a clear indication whether when we visit and then we register our dissatisfaction and the dissatisfactions of the communities, we are able to go back and report progress, because our responsibility will be to go back and present. On the Manyane Lodge, in your report, I see no project, for an example. On the report on program two, you must differentiate from what you have projected for the program itself and separate that with the budget of SAT which you are supposed to transfer. Because where I'm sitting, I know at some point DG reported that there was a certain transfer which was made in May to SAT. And now we are seated where there's a variance of about 498.1 million. which is attributed to the fact that you have underspent or spent less than what you have projected, vis-a-vis the 1 billion that is belonging to SAT. But because of the decision that we make here in the portfolio committee, that money has not been transferred. So we must understand as to, out of that 1 billion, how much is left? Is it the entire 1 billion or is it a piece of 1 billion because you have transferred a certain portion at some point? And that reflection, it should not confuse what you as a department have not spent, which you have projected for your own projects outside what you are supposed to transfer, because now your report is hiding behind the skirts of the monies that are supposed to be transferred to SAT. That's how it is reflecting as you are reporting. So you must bring that explicit report, and ourselves are going to play our part. Individual projects, progress reports be made accordingly. You have committed to that. We are going to chase you for all these commitments. And yeah, those during, provide more details on the master plans in writing, because you don't have those details now. Because it is important for the portfolio committee to have that. On the projects that you handed over to DPSA, you provide the portfolio committee with a detailed report, and projects which you have not yet handed over to DPSA that are your responsibility as a department, there must be a separate report so that you are able to understand whether you are progressing as a department or whether DPSA, who came to our portfolio committee to present on the projects on our invite, they have progressed. Because remember, we're going to call DPSA again to say, you came to the portfolio committee and you said 46 projects by this time they would have been completed and handed over to various recipients of the project. Have you achieved that? That is DPSA. Now, the department, you must be able to say, these are the projects which we have not handed over to DPSA. This is the progress that we've made as the department now. So there's two scenarios here. Your implementing agent, DPSA, must come and report progress. Yourselves as the department, you must come and present the progress. I like this report of yours. It's beautiful, very nice, because you are able to say these are the state-owned entities that we have maintained, refurbished, and what have you. These are community projects which we have maintained, refurbished, and what have you. But that, it does not give us a sense of whether these are DPSA or these are departmental projects. Because remember, we must measure your progress outside of what DPSA is doing as your implementing agent, because you also have projects that you are busy with. Quarter 2 report ended in September. We appreciate that, but it is not reflected on your report. We can't differentiate when this quarter 1 ended and quarter 2 ended. Now we're saying quarter 3, at least there must be visibility of your progress, because progress is there. But you are the enemies of your own progress. You are the enemies of your own progress because you don't come to the portfolio committee and capitalize on the progress that you have made by reporting as such in writing. You want to tell us what is there on your laptop, which is not on the papers that you have provided to us, then you become enemies of your own progress. So we want to appreciate that progress. But before we could appreciate the progress, we must have it. You are saying 16 projects, practically, you have achieved 16 projects, which means projects are completed. But in the reports that you've been giving us, we don't see the practicality of the reports. on projects which are achieved. We want the 16, we want to know where the 16 is, so that you are able to, between now and this quarter of Parliament, perhaps go on oversight and see those 16 projects, whether indeed the projects are completed practically. So we want to see, so that we feel it, you know. We feel what we want to feel, what you are feeling. Generally, that's what you want to do. So on that note, I wish to close our meeting, and the gentleman there did confirm what Honorable Togo was asking, whether your APP gets audited by the Auditor General. We appreciate that the reports or your APPs are audited by the Auditor General, so that tomorrow when we get your reports from the Auditor General, we know and understand that they have audited these reports. That's why they have authority to give us what they give us. The investigation on the irregularities on the bidding are on a stage known by your good selves, because the DG has commissioned that. Would appreciate to get a report on these things. So the EPWP, the target is what is disturbing us as the portfolio committee. We're hoping that quarter three, you are going to give us a positive report on the EPWP and the tourism monitors program, because those are programs that are close to the hearts of many honorable members that are sitting here. And these are projects that enables tourism to contribute immensely to the unemployment eradication of our country, because we say you are the contributing sector as tourism on this particular issue of job creation. But as things stand, as we are seated in this boardroom, we know that you are not making any contribution as expected by both the NDP and your mandate. So in that note, we thank you very much for the progress that you've made, which is hidden to us. We appreciate it, hoping that in the next meeting we will see the visibility of the progress that you are registering verbally to the portfolio committee. You must continue to progress in the next meeting. I know that your report as per the standards of treasury. We note that, we know. But in the portfolio committee, when you come, because you are legislators and you represent the people, you must just have one or two pages on the progress made, separate for all these summaries that you give us. Progress made thus far by the department. You put it there in writing, so that we are able to appreciate you fully, wholeheartedly. Now we are giving you half heart. So in your next meeting, which is the quarter three report, you must have these progressive reports, and you are released. We'll see you next time. Thank you very much. And I know they in China, they are sleeping now. Or they are struggling to sleep because of the time difference. We are releasing you, honorable members. We are going to remain so that we deal with the remainder of the portfolio committee agenda, which is the next point on our agenda, honorable. So, Advocate Kwebu, is what corresponds. Where is this thing? Honorable Makubela.
Chairperson, can I be excused? I need to get documentation of the house what I'm doing in the house.
All right.